Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
Welcome to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. I am Chris Graham, and this is Jerry's show. Jerry, good to talk to you again, and we saw each other the other night at JPJ, Virginia getting the win to get to the second round. North Texas coming up this weekend, and a beautiful weekend at UVA. There's baseball on grounds. And a lot going on these days. How are you doing?
Doing great, Chris. Yeah, it was great spending some time with you the other day as well. It's enjoyable. A few hours there that we got to spend together. And, yeah, you're right. Basketball continues. Baseball is getting red hot. And the lacrosse is in a big game this weekend. The women's swimming team looks like they might be getting ready to capture another national title, maybe. Things are going pretty well.
Yeah, indeed. Let's throw a nice thank you out there to one of your new sponsors.
Yes, Greenberries Coffee, the official coffee of JerryRatcliffe.com and our podcast is a major sponsor that's come on board a couple of weeks ago. We're very grateful. They have several locations around Charlottesville. The one that I usually frequent is the one down at Barracks Road, which is a hot spot. It's hard to get a seat in there sometimes. But they're all over town. They're over in Harrisonburg. They're in D.C. They're in Maryland. They're in Japan, I believe, and in Saudi Arabia. So this company is expanding like wildfire. I didn't realize they had so many different products. Look them up on our website. You will be blown away by all the different things that they have to offer. So, yeah, go by your nearest Greenberries and tell them Hootie sent you.
Yeah, easy to get there from the website, too, both the desktop and the mobile. Just click on the ad, and it'll take you straight to their website. You can learn more about all the stuff they've got to offer. So let's talk about first round NIT game, Virginia with the big win, Mississippi State kind of game. I think things went the way we kind of expected. Ben Allen put it before the game. It's going to be a football game. It felt like a football game. In fact, there were some pushing and shoving going on a little bit there, especially at the end. So Jerry, take us into that game and Virginia's narrow win.
Yeah, I think Garrison Brooks is the one that said it's going to be a football game. He knew that from his days at Carolina. And by the way, he is in all his days at Carolina and at Mississippi State, he has never tasted victory against the Wahoos. Maybe that led to him getting a little bit of a fracas with Caden Shedrick late in the game. I think it was a double technical foul. It was just a technical foul.
Yeah, there was a double technical with Caden earlier in the game, and then he went up. Right. You know, the guy you don't want to mess with on the Virginia team, if you could pick one guy, it would be Francisco Cofaro, and that's who he tried to mess with.
Yeah, that was definitely a mistake. There were some elbows flying and some knees and all kinds of other things going on, but it was a very physical game. Felt kind of bad for Ben Howland. He seems to be a class act, having been at Pitt and UCLA before Mississippi State, and things are just, bad luck to some degree. They're a bad road team. I think they're 1-10 on the road this year. And summarily, he was fired the day after they lost to Virginia, somewhat like Chris Mack was at Louisville the day after they lost at Virginia. He lost his job. So it'll be a coaching change there. Virginia seemed to have control of the game mostly in the first half, and then Mississippi State came back strong in the second. I've actually outscored Virginia 38-33 in the second half, and Virginia had a healthy lead late in the game. And as we've seen time and time again, the opponent narrowed it down, whittled it down to deciding it in the final minute. But it was a good win. It was the 20th win of the season for Virginia. somebody had told you and I, Chris, back in January that that was going to happen, we probably would have laughed. Just didn't look like it was possible. And here they are with 20, going on 21 in the next round of the NIT.
Yeah, that game was so typical. We almost saw this same exact game when Virginia lost to Florida State a couple weeks ago in JPJ. Virginia had a 60-53 lead with, you know, inside of 20 seconds to go. Mississippi State scored a basket. Virginia couldn't make free throws. Jaden Gardner, again, Kia Clark missed the front end of a one-on-one. Jaden Gardner missed both ends of a two-shot foul. And Mississippi State had a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie it. And actually had a decent look. I mean, it wasn't a great look, but it was he was open. He was a fadeaway three in the corner. But Virginia gets the win. Jaden Gardner, only 2 points in the first half, 14 in the second half. I thought Reese Beekman, I mean, we talk about Reese a lot. He was 5 of 7 from the field, 14.6 assists. And what I liked the most out of Reese was he was curling off those screens and hitting little, you know, 10, 12 foot jumpers, putting them up very confidently and finding guys when they try to close that down, finding the open guy. That's the Reese Beekman that Virginia fans want to see more of this year, but certainly the next couple of years. The confident Reese Beekman with the ball in his hands, not just passing the ball, but looking for his own shot.
I totally agree. And, you know, he seems to be evolving right before our very eyes. And we always knew he could play defense and was a really good passer. Now he's adding a lot of offense to his repertoire. And I think Tony said it after the game. He said that he needs to gain some strength in the offseason and to work on his outside shot, which I'm sure that he will. I know he did some pretty much this past summer or in the offseason. He and Kihei worked a lot together. He already has the ability to drive and create, and if he can add a consistent perimeter shot, Chris, we're looking at a beast here.
We really are. And they ran it, only did it once, but there was a late shot clock situation where the ball just ends up in his hands with about 7 or 8 seconds to go after the mover blocker wasn't working on that particular set. He looks over to Tony Bennett. It was in the second half. So you're on your side of the floor with your coach. And everybody else looks over there, too. And they ran a clear out for him, just like they called a play out of a huddle in the Louisville win in the ACC tournament. Ran a clear out for Beekman. One-on-one with the lane open. No one can guard him. And, you know, when you see him do that and you see Virginia, you know, use him in that way, you say, why not try this a few more times a game? Let's just see what happens here. If you run it 4 or 5 times a game and the defense gets to see the set and it kind of adjusts to the look, what that means is maybe they're sending a guy in to help out from behind. It might leave a 3-point shooter open, something like that. But, you know, the first part of this is no one can guard him 1-on-1. You just want to see more of that.
I totally agree. And we knew he was explosive, but you're right. He's so quick. Nobody can stay with him. He also, you know, was effective on the other end of the floor as well. He had 4 steals and broke Othell Wilson's single season steals record, which is pretty impressive. I mean, he's only a sophomore and had 6 assists to boot. So, and only 1 turnover. So my gosh, what a bright future he has for sure. And between he and Gardner, they were a force to be reckoned with. They need a little bit more help. Poppy actually was 4 or 5 on field goals the other night. So they're getting, I think, the most they can out of him. And it was, I'm sure it was a delight to the 5,278 fans that showed up for the game. I thought there were more than that, but because the lower bowl seemed to be pretty full.
Yeah,
but I'm sure it was a delight to their eyes to see Armand Franklin hit 2 3-pointers, a pretty big one down the stretch when they were only ahead by 1 point with less than 2 minutes to play. And Franklin hits a big three. It gives them a cushion that was actually their last bucket of the game. It's 1:55 to play. They hit a few free throws, as you mentioned, down the stretch and held off the Bulldogs at the end. But, you know, if he can get a little confidence back, that could help him throughout the rest of this tournament.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boasts one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
K.A. Clark had 8 points and 9 assists. He only made one basket, only shot it 3 times from the floor, made 6 of 8 from the foul line. Had 5 of those in the first half. He got fouled shooting a 3, made 3 free throws. Missed that front end of a 1-and-1 down the stretch. Also missed the front end of a technical foul shot, opportunity late. But that may be, we don't know, it may be Kihei's last game in JPJ. We know that Virginia's playing at North Texas on Sunday. We'll talk about that game coming up. If Virginia wins that game, they play the winner of, is it Oklahoma and St. Bonaventure, I think it is. Either of those teams.
I think that's right.
And I think St. Bonaventure is not seeded, so there would be potential if St. Bonaventure were to win that game that Virginia could play at home if things worked out that way. I'm not sure. You know, honestly, I think Tony probably wants to play some road games and test his team a little bit more. But that all said, this could have been, you know, if Kihei doesn't come back, which he can, this could have been Kihei's last home game. And 8 points, 9 assists, you know, quiet night offensively, at least from shooting the ball perspective. But he was setting his teammates up again, as Kihei has been so good at doing over the last 4 years.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, I think that's a underestimated talent of his. He's so good at getting guys the ball in the right place where they can make a shot, or he can find soft spots in the defense and kind of pick things apart, particularly when teams go zone. But even in man-to-man or matchup zones, he seems to find his teammates in the right place, so that gives him the best opportunity to score a basket. But you know, it was interesting after the game. He said that he was fired up about playing in the NIT because he just wanted to play more basketball. That's going to be an interesting decision coming up. As much as he loves the game, I don't know what kind of a future he would have in basketball as a player beyond UVA. So I don't know if he would have to go to Europe or somewhere. But, you know, there's always a place where a guy that's started for as many years as he has, 4 years, can find a place to play. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if his heart is tugging him to come back or if he wants to just move on.
Exactly. That decision forthcoming down the road, I suppose. So, hey, let's look ahead to North Texas. Virginia not seeded in this NIT, which was a surprise and still is a surprise. It will always be a surprise that this team, which we thought was pretty close to an NCAA bid a week ago, didn't get a seed in this tournament. They're playing at the number 2 seed, North Texas. North Texas, the Conference USA regular season champs, 25-6 record at this stage. They beat Texas State 67-63 in overtime in their first-round NIT game. And, you know, Jerry, it's hard for Virginia fans to believe this probably as we're getting ready to talk about it, but there is a Division I basketball team that plays slower than Virginia, and yeah, it's North Texas. Who would have ever figured we'd find someone slower than Virginia?
They've been right there most of the season, and I think they and Virginia have kind of leapfrogged each other into the slowest, but what are the odds of those two teams playing in the postseason? I mean, it's unbelievable. It was interesting that in their they were the number 1 seed in the Conference USA tournament and lost to Louisiana Tech in the semifinals, 42-36. I think they only had 13 points at halftime, and they only shot 24%, which was a season low, I think, in scoring and shooting. But it's how weird is that going to be watching these two teams the two slowest teams in the country squaring off with each other.
These two teams each scored 13 points in the first half of their conference tournament loss. They didn't score two touchdowns and two extra points in the first half, each of them in their conference tournament loss. They scored. I mean, we know what it's like to watch Virginia score 43, losing to North Carolina in the ACC tournament. This team scored 36. They lost to a team that scored 42. Louisiana Tech only had 42 in that game. So, very similar teams. They both play 7-man rotations. They both obviously emphasize the value of possessions by limiting the number of them in a game. This North Texas team ranks 15th nationally in adjusted defensive efficiency. So that's something, you know, they play a little bit better efficiently, at least this compared to this year's Virginia team. Virginia teams, of course, routinely finish in the top 10 nationally. This year's team is a little further behind from those groups. But yeah, I mean, in a sense, mirror image teams. I'll also throw this thought in. These are the type teams that you hate playing in March. If you're a mid-tempo team, a fast-paced team, and, you know, you're used to running up and down the floor or whatever, you hate playing a team like North Texas or Virginia. And that's one of their advantages going into a March matchup, especially, you know, you're playing teams outside of your conference. Maybe you haven't seen a team like this in a long time. You get frustrated. These two teams know what it's like. So no advantage. You know, you're used to, if you're Virginia or North Texas, having an advantage going into a March game like this, but no advantage for either team here. They're both slow teams.
Yeah, it may be a shock to both of their systems to to square off. It's like looking in the mirror or like going to practice every day.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is going to be weird. Yeah, there's a Green Machine in Denton, Texas, which is about 30 miles north of Dallas. They're 25-6. They were a bubble team, Chris. And, you know, they played a pretty much Conference USA schedule. I think they did lose early in the season to Miami by about 6 points. They play in the same conference as Old Dominion. A lot of people may not be aware of that conference in terms of Virginia opponents. But their coach, Grant McCaslin, was an assistant coach at Baylor for several seasons. And that was some of the Baylor teams in 2012, 14, 15, and 16 went to the NCAA. So he knows hoops. He's really elevated the program there in North Texas and seems to be getting everything he can out of them. They play in a arena they call the Super Pit, which I think they've had as many as 8,500 people in there late in the season. But they drew less than Virginia in the first round of the NIT. They only had 3,386 fans. So I don't know what kind of crowd they're expecting, but one of the headlines in one of the newspapers down there said that of Virginia coming to Denton, that one of the storied programs in college basketball will be coming to North Texas this weekend. So they're excited about playing Virginia. And an odd fact here, just out of the blue, maybe the most famous alum, at least people have heard about, was Meatloaf.
Well, that's an interesting factoid. Yeah, Meatloaf recently who recently passed away, sadly. They played Kansas early in the season. The Miami loss was close, 69-63. You mentioned they play. I don't know what tournament it was. It was a November tournament. They lost to Kansas in the first game of that tournament, 71-59. The score closer than the game was. They were down 20 late, and then some garbage time minutes allowed them to creep back in final score wise. UAB ended up getting the automatic bid out of that conference. That was their best win from an NET rankings perspective, actually from an NET and actually all advanced metrics perspectives. You mentioned, Jerry, this North Texas team was a bubble team. Their metrics suggested they should have gotten a bid. So, but then you know, I guess the NCAA selection committee doesn't follow their own metrics, because their the metrics suggested that both UAB and North Texas should have gotten in regardless of automatic bid status. And then UAB just got a 12 seed, which is about as low as you seed a team that is, you know, a conference winner of that nature. So, so pretty good. This is a pretty good team from a metric perspective, everything else. And, you know, I expect to, you know, they had a limited attendance for that first game, but you know, if you're a CUSA team and you've got an ACC team, one, a recent national champion, two, sort of a borderline blue blood, three, coming to your arena, I would expect a rowdy crowd there Sunday night.
You would think so. I mean, they mentioned what a rarity it was to have a major college program come to North Texas. The latest, believe it or not, was 11 years ago when LSU came. Texas Tech and Indiana have come there this century.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, it's a big deal, I would think. I don't know what, if I guess spring break is over. I don't know. But you would think that they would have a pretty good crowd for this game. And I think you're right. I think Tony wants to test this team on the road some, maybe gain some experience for those guys coming back and playing postseason road basketball, which could help them next year in some of their ACC games. And maybe that tournament out in Las Vegas in November that we talked about a few weeks ago. But it's a, yeah, you know, I'm sure that if you're a program of that stature, getting a higher level team to come to your place is, it's got to be a huge deal, exciting for your fans. I mean, ACC is, you know, regarded in most years as the best or one of the best conferences in the country. And certainly, I don't guess any ACC team has ever come to North Texas. So I would think they'd be excited.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The Barn has been family owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
I'll give a quick rundown. Did some research on this North Texas team, wrote a quick preview. Their leading scorer is a guy named Tyler Perry. He's a sixth man of this team. He scores 13.5 points a game. Hadn't started a game this year, but shoots 42% from the field and 41.9% from three-point range. You got to watch him, especially out on the perimeter. They have four guys who score in double figures. Thomas Bell, a 6'6 senior, 12.5 points, 6.9 rebounds a game. 6'1 senior Mardrez McBride, 10.9 points a game, 38% from three. And then their big guy, 6'10 sophomore Abu Osmani, 10.6 rebounds a game, just under 50% from the field. They play seven guys. Other guys' names you'll hear: Reuben Jones. He starts at the point, but he gets most of his minutes at the two and three. He starts at the point, and then Perry checks in. I've kind of looked at some game reports. Perry checks in after the first media timeout. Still averages right at 30 minutes a game, does Perry. Jones averaging 8.2 points a game, shoots 34.5% from three. And then a 6'1 senior, J.J. Murray. And then Aaron Scott is the other big. He's a 6'7 big who gets minutes up front. This team runs a lot of pick and roll. 21.1% of their offensive possessions are pick and roll. Spot ups are 28.4%. That's a good part of their offense. And so they're not particularly good in the post. Osmani shoots 45% on post ups. And gets a lot of post-ups. And the pick and rolls, they're not all that good at either, especially on the back end of pick and roll. So if you can force the ball out of the hands of the guard, which Virginia's Hedge can do, you should be in good shape here. So I like this matchup for Virginia, Jerry. I know that Vegas and all the computers say that North Texas is going to win this game. I like this matchup for Virginia. I think Virginia matches up well with this North Texas team.
Yeah, I do too, especially if Virginia has the right attitude going into the game. I think they were fortunate last week to host Mississippi State. I'm not sure they would have won that game on the road, but I think this one's a little different. And I agree. I like the matchups. I particularly wonder how North Texas is going to defend Shedrick, Gardner, and Cafaro in the post. And I think that could be a big advantage for Virginia. You're right about that Perry guy. He can hurt you. I think he's one of four players in the country who leads the team in scoring, but not as a starter. And he's made game-winning three-point baskets in four conference games this year. So we know where the ball's going if it's up in the air at the end. He was a second-team All-District National Association of Basketball Coaches selection, while Bell, the senior, was a first-team All-District. So sort of like Gardner's postseason honor that he got from the NABC last week. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty solid team, and it's a road game. It'll be interesting to see how Virginia's players what their mental frame of mind will be going into a road game like that. I'm sure, as they call it, the super pit, if they do fill it up with 8,500 people, it sounds like it could be a really noisy place, kind of like Cameron. I don't know what their home crowds are like, but, it could be a setup if you're not ready to play.
If you're not ready.
Just going in there with a cavalier attitude, no pun intended. But, I think that's going to be the big thing is how Virginia's players approach this game and how hungry they are to continue to advance in this tournament. Because I would imagine, as we talked about earlier, if they do win, they'll probably be facing Oklahoma at Oklahoma, which is certainly not an easy place to win. Tony said that he hopes his team is chomping at the bit to play the next game. And I think that's going to be a big part of it, is how eager they are to keep this season going.
You know, you mentioned, Jerry, Duke, at the road game at Duke. Virginia won that game. And that is the toughest place to play, that we know in the country. For Virginia teams, also playing at Virginia Tech is a really tough place to play. Virginia lost that game, and the crowd really got into Virginia in that game, and I think had some impact a little bit in that game. Also, Virginia lost a game on the road to a non-Power 5 team back in December at JMU, which was not a good team this year. They finished under 500 in the CAA, and Virginia, boy, I think it was a 21-1 run in that game for JMU, yeah, to give them control. Virginia came back, took the lead late, and then JMU won at the end. So when you look at the three toughest environments Virginia played in, I know that some people listening might say JMU a tough environment. JMU, like North Texas, could be Sunday night. We don't know how many people are going to show up. If they show up with anything close to 8,500 people, those 8,500 people want blood in this game. They want Power 5 blood. They want ACC blood. They want recent national champion blood, just like the JMU kids did. And, if you come out flat, and we've seen Virginia come out flat at times this year, you come out flat, those first 5 minutes could bury you, just like I think happened at JMU. So, yeah, it's – as much as X's and O's and metrics and everything else, I agree with you, Jerry. I think you just – how much psychology there is to this game, how much Tony can get the guys ready to play will be a key factor in determining Virginia's chance for success.
Yeah, he's normally a master at getting his team ready to play with various forms of messaging and reminders during practice during the week. And he seems to always – find a way to inspire them before a game and get the most out of his team. And, certainly sometimes it just doesn't work, but it's all how the players receive it and what they do with that motivational message, how bad they want it. There's no way to determine that until you actually see them hit the floor and see how they're going to attack or defend.
So that's Sunday night, 6 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN Plus. You have to have an ESPN subscription to be able to watch this game. That's what happens when you don't make the NCAA tournament. You have to find the games.
Yes.
That'll be fun for some of us.
I have 296 sports channels on my system, and that is not one of them.
That's not one of them. We'll have to figure that out between now and Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern. Also this weekend, so we'll talk baseball in a second. Yeah, also this weekend, lacrosse. This is the matchup of the season until the Final Four, whoever ends up in the Final Four. And these two teams very well may. A rematch of last year's national championship game, Virginia and Maryland, numbers 1 and 2 in the country. And we think that they've got it wrong. Virginia should be 1 and Maryland should be 2. But anyway, Maryland 1, Virginia 2. Neutral site game up in D.C. tomorrow afternoon. And the way Virginia's been looking lately, I know they had a narrow win earlier in the season that knocked them from 1 to 2. They've had a couple of nice wins of late. This is Virginia's hitting this game at the best they possibly could, I would think, going into playing a game against Maryland.
Yeah, I agree. Lars Tiffany's done an excellent job. I mean, they're going for a three-peat.
Yeah.
I mean, how rare is that? And, they have incredible talent on that team. It's going to be, as far as lacrosse goes, I think this is going to be one of the great games of the season, maybe beyond just this season, between two really terrific teams. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up playing for the national championship on Memorial Weekend. I think that's when they play it. But, it's going to be a heck of a game. There's so many sporting events going on this weekend. It's amazing.
The women, you mentioned the NCAA women's swimming and diving championships. Virginia is in. I think we're going – today is day 3. Emma Wyant, I know, finished second in the 500-yard – I think it was a freestyle race today. We'll have more reporting on jerryratcliffe.com on that today and throughout the weekend. But, yeah, the women's swimming team going for a second consecutive national championship themselves.
Yeah, and they – they set 2 American records last night. They just seem to be breaking records, either pool records or UVA records or ACC or NCAA or even I think there was even a world record mixed in there last month sometime. But what an amazing collection of talent that they've put together. And that would be so cool to see them defend their national championship and bring back a repeat for sure.
So we talked about the defending national champion men's lacrosse, defending national champion women's swimming. And this team, all they did was they went to the College World Series last year. They're ranked number 5 in the country right now. So they're quite a few pegs below. The baseball team is on grounds this weekend. 3-game series, Boston College, ACC foe. 16-1 record for this team. They hit the cover off the ball. They throw it so well. The pitching staff, the starters, the middle relief, the bullpen. We've seen some good Virginia teams over the years, and I know it's early in the season, and you got to get through the hard part here. But this is stacking up like one of the great Virginia teams.
Sure looks that way, doesn't it, Chris? I mean, they have a nice promotion going on over there too. You can find the details on the website. JerryRatcliffe.com, and it's probably on your site too.
It is as well. Yeah.
Free Press, AugustaFreePress.com. They have a nice promotion going that kids under 18 can get a free admission, general admission ticket with an adult buying a ticket. So people might want to check that out. That's for the whole season. So.
Yeah,
it's hard to beat that deal. But, they've got a 14-game home winning streak, which is the 4th longest in the nation. Pretty good deal there. And if you like offense, this is your club. They're averaging 14 runs per game at home at Disharoon Park. And that includes 25 home runs, the fourth most in a season at Disharoon. And that's only after 11 home games.
Yeah, we're not even close to April yet.
Yeah, the record is only 38 home runs in 34 home games back in 2017. And these guys are already within 9 home runs of tying that. And like you said, it's 11 games in at home. So you could see that record crushed big time by these guys. So much talent on this team, pitching, defense, and hitting. Fun team to watch.
Yeah, you look at the weekend starters. Nate Savino gets the ball today, 3-0, 1-2-1 ERA, 27 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 22 in the third innings. On Saturday, it's 3 lefties, so that also throws off everything for opposing teams. But Brian Gursky gets the ball tomorrow, 4-0, 2-1-4, also 27 strikeouts, 21 innings pitched. And then Brandon Neek, all he did was set that record for, 16 strikeouts in relief last year in the regionals over ODU. He's your third starter, 2-0, 2.65 ERA, 18 strikeouts, 17 innings pitched. They can hit it, and they can throw it.
That's a complete team, and they play good defense. So Brian O'Connor has got this team off to one of the better starts in UVA history. So it's supposed to be a nice weekend weather-wise. So, and they have all kinds of other attractions and food and beer and just about anything you would request out there. I think the Gus Bus is going to be there.
I was going to say the Gus Bus all weekend. You get your Gus Burgers.
Yeah.
And if you've never had a Gus Burger, you know, I'm a UVA alum, Jerry, and I had never had a Gus Burger until this past football season. And Scott German taught me. I never had one until this past football season. Scott German said, "You've never had a Gus Burger. We're going to go get a Gus Burger." And I'll tell you what, at 49 years old, I found something I'd been missing all my life. It's this big burger with egg on it. And I've told my wife about it. And I think she wants to go to a game this weekend just to go get a Gus Burger because she's intrigued by this idea. Of a good hamburger with you know, a really good
egg
good greasy egg on it there, yeah, and slather it all in there, yeah, and our good buddy Ralph Sampson is the white spot guy now. So in fact, if you know, you get lucky, he might even give you your burger. So who knows?
You never know. And one of these late games, we'll have to go down to the white spot and not only get a Gus Burger, but to get you a Grills Whiff, which is what everybody used to get. And I assume they still have those. It's a day-old donut nuked with ice cream on top and, I think, a little chocolate syrup. So it's
sold.
A good way to end up a night.
I'm sold already, yeah. You know, and I lived, I lived behind the corner for 3 of my 4 years. Yeah, I had to walk through the corner to get to my apartment. So I would stop at Little John's at 2 a.m. I will claim after studying late on my way back to my apartment.
Yeah, and we all have those excuses, right? That's why we're out
studying
prowling around at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that was because I was studying late. And so Gus Burgers, yeah, they're on one there. Hey, one more time. Let's thank the relatively new sponsor who's jumped on board with us here.
Yes, Greenberries sponsors our podcast along with Aberdeen Barn and UVA Orthopedics. We're thankful to those people as well. Go grab a cup of Joe with Greenberries. They've got just about any kind of coffee you can imagine. Some newfangled stuff that I've never even heard of before. You can check that out on our website. Just click on their ad, and it shows their entire menu of coffee and food. So great people. Give them a try. If you haven't, then if you have, keep going back.
Lots going on with Virginia sports this weekend. Swimming, lacrosse, baseball, basketball in the NIT. JerryRatcliffe.com, AugustaFreePress.com for the latest on what's going on with UVA sports. For Jerry Ratcliffe, I am Chris Graham signing off. Everyone have a great weekend.